welcome to everybody that's joining us. We're off to a good start this year, and part of the design of these messages, and I was encouraged from another brother in the Lord to call it a starter kit for 2023. You can be free in 23. This is a starter kit. These messages are help you get off to a good start. And I shared with the group that's already here, a lot of times in Ball we found out that the way you start would be the way you finish. So it's good to get off to a great start. And with Jesus, you can. Somebody say amen. And so let today be a jump start for you. If you haven't caught the messages so far, last week, one of the emphases that I had last week was that how you could win the day. With Jesus, you can win the day. And it's important to win the day, because if you win the day for a number of days in a row, do you know what? You win a week. When you win a number of weeks in a row, you can win a month. When you win a number of months, somebody say it, you can win the year. Now, it's not because of New Year's resolution, because that's based on your will and your strength. But when you leaning on the Lord, and when you're operating by His strength, by His word, by His power, and we're going to talk about how to connect with His power today, how to operate in His power, then I want to tell you, it's the Lord that does it in you and through you. And we all, in our journey, no matter how spiritual you become, come to the place of the uh-ohs in our journey, where you say, uh-oh, you know what I'm talking about. Even physically, sometimes you have this kind of sensation that come over and you say, uh-oh, something just hit me. Well, I want to tell you, that happens in your spiritual journey also. But even when that happens, guess what? If you're relying and leaning on the Lord, Pastor Tim or Pastor Rich can't give you the strength to carry on. Your own will, your own flesh can't give you the strength to carry on. But when you're leaning on the Lord gives you strength to carry on. That's not deep, but that's real. And that makes a heaven of a lot of difference in your journey. And He's never disappointed. He's never disturbed or disappointed when you cry out help. He loves to answer that prayer, and He's got you in mind this year. He's got plan, favor, future for you this year. And so this week, what I want to do is show you about that Jesus paid for you not only to win the day, but Jesus paid for you to have a championship season. Is there anyone in the house or anyone listening online that's due a championship season in your life? Raise both hands, because the Lord's looking right now. All right. Well, there's that principle, and if you didn't catch last week or the week before, please do, because you need to know that the Lord will guide you but not drive you. That's an important principle in walking with the Lord, and you need to know how to win the day. And the whole thing, I go back and listen to it, because there's more to it than this. But part of the principle that I'm building on for this how to have a championship season is about winning the day. You got to win the day in order to have a championship season. And so it's very, very important. You know, there's this little story about how do you eat an elephant, and it just seems so overwhelming to eat an elephant. But the way you eat an elephant is one bite at a time. Believe it or not, you cannot tell by looking at me, but I've run three marathons in my life. That's 26.2 miles. And yes, I didn't look like this when I ran them. But at the same time, I didn't qualify for anything, because the fastest I ever ran 26.2 miles was 4 hours and 16 minutes. And the pros do it in half that amount of time. So I wasn't setting any records. It was just a finish. Okay, but I want to tell you something. I got asked, well, how do you run 26.2 miles, and it ends up being one step at a time, 1 mile at a time. Okay, so that's very, very important. Now, I'll just be right straight up, because we practice a lot of honesty. You know, I kind of looked at the scale, and I looked at myself in some pictures. What? I even asked myself, who's that big guy? And I got to looking, and it was me. But what I'm telling you is, you know, it became in my heart that I'm going to lose 70 pounds this year. Now, see, here's what I'm telling you. When you think about a championship season and you look at where you are or where you're not and where you want to be or where the Lord wants you to be, it can be overwhelming when you look at the whole journey. When you think about 26.2 miles, it can look overwhelming when you look at the whole journey. And when you look at 70, when Tim Hall looked at 70 pounds, you know, I want to tell you, it doesn't come off as easy as it did 20 years ago. But wait a minute. I want to tell you, 70 pounds, that looks a little overwhelming. Especially when I'm married to the queen of nachos. She can make nachos like nobody else, I'm telling you. She gets hugs every time she does. But I'm here to tell you something. Look, Tim Hall can lose 3 ounces a day. I'm trying to share something with you. I can lose 3 ounces a day. If I lose 3 ounces a day, hey, I'm going to be knocking on the door 70 pounds in a year. Does anybody hear? Okay, well, let the Holy Spirit talk to you through these little examples, okay? Hey, what's your greatest need in 23? Now, I know a lot of people say, well, that's not very spiritual. Well, there's a whole lot of us that ended up with Jesus because we had a need in our life. And I want to tell you, say, well, you know, we ought to come because we get revelation. No, let me tell you something. He will have you wherever, however he can get you. And he's not bothered that you come to him when you have needs in your life. It's our needs that cause us to need him. And so I want to tell you, that doesn't belittle me or belittle him if you come because of a need. So what kind of need do you have in 23? Is it something practical? You may need a new job. You may need a new horse. Well, we're in Texas. A new car for all you others. May need a new car. You may need a new tent. A new teepee, a new house. Your greatest need may be something a little more personal. You see, our needs, our practical needs, do not disturb the Lord. As a matter of fact, he spoke to practical needs in Matthew, and he said, if you'll seek him first, seek the kingdom first and his righteousness, the Lord said he'll add up, he'll get in line all those practical needs that the world worries about and frets about. He'll line them up. Now, that's what Jesus said. Do we believe that? Well, we practice what we believe. It's either practicing what we believe or it's just a bunch of religious talk that turns other people off. Wait, your need might be more personal. It may be a healing in your body. You know what? God cares for that. That doesn't intimidate the Lord. Okay? If you need a healing in your body, they don't have a huddle in heaven between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit and say, uh-oh, this one needs a healing. What are we going to do? No, they're not intimidated about that because I want to tell you, his love heals. He's not intimidated by practical needs because his love provides. Because it all comes back to him. God cares. Can somebody say God cares? You see, your healing may be in a relationship situation. God cares. And he's big enough to help you with your big needs, and he's caring enough to help you with your small needs. Do you understand that? His love covers it all. I like to say it like this, the ground's level at the cross. He paid for your big and your small, same price. It was an oversupply, an overpayment for whatever your needs are. He's El Shaddai, not El Cheapo. He wants to love on you in big ways and small ways because they're expressions of his love. He delights in the impossible. So if a doctor tells you it's incurable, or some family member tells you that's impossible for you, I want to tell you that makes heaven smile. And I want to tell you, you need to reflect heaven. You need to reflect the Lord's heart. You need to smile when people put that negative cold water on you. Because our part's to believe the Lord and not settle for what people say. Let's believe the report of the Lord. So Jesus paid for his promises to be yours. And you've heard me say this a lot, but with your name on it. Now, I cannot make you receive it with your name on it. That's something you got to get from God. But I want to tell you, when you seek, when you ask, when you knock, when you seek and keep on asking, knocking, seeking, and put your heart toward the Lord, I want to tell you, he will show you that he's your provision in whatever area you need, no matter what the name is. Wow. And when he does that, when you see it, written on the screen of your heart. That's hope, because he shows you this is for you. This is who I am to you. And when you see that, it makes a big difference. Somebody say amen, church. So his heart is for you to enjoy his goodness. Now, I know sometimes I get a little critique on this kind of preaching, but I want to tell you, that's not any different than any real dad, real father wants to do with his children. If we, as human dads, human fathers, want to be a blessing and to bless and to do good to our children, Heavenly Father, with divine love, is the much more representative of that. Somebody say amen. Because the Lord is true. His favor is now yours because Jesus paid for your favor. He paid for your favor. You can ask big and you can win big. You know, your family may say, well, that's just who we are. That's what we do as a family. We always have had this problem. Or somebody may be looking at you and say, you'll never change. You've had this your whole life. That's a lie, and Jesus is true. You can ask big and win big, and you can walk free in 23. You've been made, according to the Bible, we're going to get to this, the righteousness of God through Jesus' sacrifice at the cross. And so we get the legal right, the divine right, the king's right to receive from the king, because we're based on his righteousness and not ours. But he has gifted you with a position of righteousness. Hey, it's not always our performance, is it? Well, it's not based on our performance, it's based on his. Based on his performance, we get his position. He became what we are that we can become what he is. I want to tell you, I love him. He gives you the legal rights of a king. It's legal. With the authority of the king. You have authority on this earth. You have the authority. Now, it's important to be in submission to the king. Because sometimes we deal with folk and say, it just don't work for me. Well, you know, it's not going to work without submission to the king. But when you're in submission and agreement, in line and agreement, embracing the king as Lord, then I want to tell you, those divine rights are yours because of him and not because of you. 2 Corinthians 5:21, are you ready? This is out of the New American Standard. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Now, let me kind of break this down a little bit. He, that first he, means God. Everybody say God. God made him, that him means Jesus. So God made, somebody say it, Jesus who knew no sin to be sin. So, that we get the gift, the position of righteousness of God in him. You say, when did that happen? When you received Christ, that's when it happened. You say, well, I didn't feel any different. I didn't look any different, because that happened in your spirit. But I want to tell you, it's a real part of you. It's the eternal part of you right there. And now Ephesians 3, and I think I've got verse 20. I have verse 20. Okay, I don't have 16 to that, so let me just tell you what these verses say up to 20, and you can look at it in your Bible, take it this afternoon. I'm trying to cover as much ground as possible, but this is a prayer. I want to tell you a number of prayers in Scripture, and one of the things that I think the Lord's prompted me to do this year is to personalize those prayers in Scripture for you. And so we may be replacing those confessions of a new creation where we confess the word to pray in the prayers of the scripture. And because I want to tell you, when you see prayer in scripture, it's God's will. It's God's word. And he loves for us to pray his word. He loves his word. It's God's will. It's God's word. And it's God's way. And I want to tell you, you cannot miss when you practice that with the right heartbeat. But let me tell you about Ephesians 3. You can look at it a little later. Verse 16 talks about out of the rich treasury of his glory. And let me say to you, no matter where you are, where you've been, there's enough rich treasury for you. I got to say it like this. There's more than enough treasury and the glory of God for your life. More than you could ever use. And I think this is a real witness wherever I preach, because the Holy Spirit will say inside of people, even if we might not understand it or the direction how to get there or whatever, they will hear the Holy Spirit say, there's more for you. Do you hear the Spirit of the Lord say that to you? That there's more for you? And He wants us to receive that treasury because it's strength. He wants us to receive strength from His mighty power inside of you by the Holy Spirit. So let me get this settled real clear, if I can, is that the Lord, one of the desires of the Lord, is to give you strength on the inside of you by the Holy Spirit's power. He gives you His strength. Now, His strength makes a difference, because His strength can cause you to do and can cause you to be what He wants you to be and what He wants you to do, where you can't do it. That makes it the Lord. This is the desire's heart. That's in verse 16. But He's talking about inside of you. I'm sharing this with you because a lot of prayers that I hear in the body of Christ out there is that, we want to see the supernatural of God on the outside. Show us supernatural. Show us that superabundant stuff. And I want to tell you what God is saying, that first base is I want to minister my strength by His power inside of you. You see, we want to look at the outside. God says, I'm looking at the inside. Will you cooperate with the inside? Verse 17, how do we do that? By faith, verse 17 says. It's by faith. How do we do this? It's with fellowship with Him. It's a relationship consciousness that comes with Him. It's called abiding in Him. By faith we abide. You can't wait on your feeling to do it. You can't wait on a Holy Ghost bump to motivate you to spend time with God. Hey, it's got to be by faith. I'm not going to wait on what I see or what I hear or what I feel or what I taste. Anybody with me? Hey, I'm going to seek the Lord. And I'm going to do it by faith, cold-blooded obedience if I need to. But I'm going to seek the Lord. And I'm going to practice fellowshipping with the Lord in my heart. Now, He talks about in verse 17, we're to be rooted deep in His love to the place where we have concrete confidence of His love. Now, that's where God wants you. And I want to tell you, a lot of believers don't live there, because it don't take much of a little storm, much of a little attack, and they hear the enemy come. Because the enemy will do this. See, he'll send an attack, and then he'll come around to the other ear and say, see, if God loved you, that wouldn't have happened. If God was pleased with you, that would have never happened. This happened because God's mad at you. God's disturbed at you. You see, it's condemnation. But I want to tell you, those folk that are not rooted in the love of Jesus, because the Bible's clear that nothing, not even yourself, not even your mess ups, or the greatest powers of spiritual darkness can separate you from the love of God. He loves you. But you got to know it by more than your mind. It's got to be in your heart. And you got to be convinced, friends. Hey, saints, we got to be concrete, convinced. This has got to be deep root. We've got to have security in His love life. Verse 18, you will have power. This is power for all the saints. You cannot look around and say, well, Pastor Rich has power. We know Joanna got power. We can just watch and say, No, it's not just for a special few, it's for you. There's power for all the saints, more than enough power for you to experientially love, to have experientially love. You see, it's not just a thought. You cannot just say, you can read the little song, Jesus Loves Me, This I Know, For the Bible Tells Me So. That's truth. But until that truth is written in your heart, in a deep-rooted way, to the place that you not just acknowledge it with your brain, but you experience it spirit, soul, and body. It's an experiential love. I want to tell you, Pastor Patrick and Lily are on a little honeymoon this weekend. I like to hear that. My wife and I still go on honeymoons. We still practice honeymoon, and that's why you need to call before you come. Unless it's a scheduled time meeting. But this is what I'm telling you, is that, you know what? We ought to be having honeymoons with the Lord. We should never get to the place, as a matter of fact, the way Scripture puts it here, is that we ought to be growing in deeper, deeper and wider experiences, spiritual, experiential knowledge of His love. You never, ever get to the place in this journey that you're finished in the love lane. The love lane needs to get deeper and wider. Amen. Thank you for that thundering silence. Saints, this is where the kingdom operates. Faith operates out of love. All of our works don't count unless it's based on love. I want to tell you, the love of God is what is the fuel for the kingdom of God. So, verse 19. Ever growing. It's not enough to know it in your little peanut-sized brain that He loves you. You got to personally experience. You got to swim in His love. And the picture I have about this is with the teens. Summertime. These teens know what I'm talking about. We have the beach ministry. We have the Word with Jesus out by the pool. And then they go swimming. And sometimes, and I love to see them swim. I love to see them enjoy the pool because it costs me a lot of money every year. I'm going to get my money's worth out of it. Y'all get in. Go off the diving board. Sometimes the little girls, and I'm not throwing stones at them, you know I love you so much, but sometimes it's kind of cute to me that, hey, girls, y'all going to swim tonight?
No. I don't want to mess up my hair.
Well, you got some good-looking hair, sister, so it's okay. You're free to swim, free not to. They'll go over and get on the side of the pool and get their little toesies in. And they just kick their little toesies in the water, and they fellowship, and they have a good time. That's okay. But the boys, you know what they're doing? They're going off the diving board, man. Who can splash? Hey, I'll splash water over the fence. I mean, you know, come on. Now, I want to tell you, that's a picture of what happens with believers. You see, there's a lot of believers that have tasted His love. Wait a minute now. Got toe deep in His love and say, yeah, the love of God is great. The love of God is good. But I want to tell you, He's got a whole lot more of His love for you to know. And to know in a way that Adam knew Eve. It's the same word. It's intimate experience. He wants you to have an experiential love, or the deeper depths of His love in your life, deeper and wider continually in your journey. That is priority with God. Now, man has a tendency to look at the outside. Even religion looks at the outside. Be careful now. Jesus got on to the Pharisees about that. On the outside, you look so spiritual. But on the inside, you see, God looks on the inside. And God's more interested in the inside. Okay? Inside will produce outside. Here we go. Are you ready? And so it says this in verse 19. We're to swim in His love. We're to be filled with the fullness of God. His love does that. His love gives you the power of revelation. Of seeing Jesus, of seeing His great love for you, and to grow in greater revelation, to grow in greater depths of His love, you're to be filled with the fullness of God, the overwhelming of His presence, filled to the overflow, flooded with Jesus. Somebody say, I want to be flooded with Jesus. Well, that's great, because that's God's will, God's word, and God's way for you. Now, what does that produce? Well, in verse 20, it says this. And I have verse 20, so look at it. Now to Him who by, this is the Lord's doing, we don't do it, the Lord does, but by the consequence of the action of His power that is at work within us. In other words, hey, get this. He does it. What we do is cooperate. Do you see that? You got to see that because, hey, look, Pastor Don can't cooperate for you. This is you allowing the work of His power. And what is that? Well, we just covered it in three verses. It's receiving and knowing His love. When you cooperate with His work within you, that power of seeing His love and experiencing and walking in His love, look what happens to you when that work is on the inside. Look what He's able to do on the outside, because this is what He does. You don't make it happen. He does. He is able to carry out his purpose and do super abundantly, somebody say supernatural, far over and above all that we dare ask or think, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, and dreams, beyond our hopes. That's what he's able to do. But only to the cooperation of us receiving his love. And so that's why that I say to you, well, thank God you have a quiet time. Thank God you have a devotional verse. But I want to tell you, it requires more than that. That's okay to start. I'm not throwing something at you for starting there. But what I'm telling you is this, is that let's have an encounter with Jesus. Not just with our brain, but with our heart. Let's keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking, keep receiving of him. If you remember him and receive of him, you won't miss the power and the impact of his word and his works to win in your life. This results in a win. Some groups teach, well, it's a list of duties and obligations to earn a win. No, it's not. It's not a list of do's and don'ts. It's not checking the boxes. I did this, I didn't do this. That doesn't help you earn God's favor. It's not outside emphasis. Heaven loves the inside. Your failure in performance doesn't disqualify you from God's blessing and favor. He still loves you. You can still receive it. You've not disqualified yourself from the love of God. I get questioned sometimes by different groups about holiness. What's your view of holiness? And I know where they're coming from, because a lot of times they have these different rules and levels of attaining. But I put it probably too simple. But it goes like this, that holiness is not a result of doing. It's a result of being and receiving. Holiness is a fruit. The root is love, life, fellowship with Jesus. Now, they don't like that because that sounds too simple. Well, anybody can do that. That's the point. That's the way he made it. When we walk in his love life and we're rooted in him with his love life, I want to tell you, fruit takes care of itself. Well, what does the fruit of Jesus look like? Well, we have scriptures to show it. It's called the fruit of the Spirit. I want to tell you, power comes from that. Outside power, superabundant power, supernatural power. That's not you. It's more than you. And that's why people say, you know God. I want to know your God, because I know the real you. And the real you don't do that. So we got to remember and meditate on Romans 5:21. We became the rightness of Jesus not because we do right, but because Jesus did right on the cross. At the cross, Jesus paid for our guilt, our sin, and our shame. He took away all your unrighteousness once and for all. Man, if you would just see that. He didn't just take a trash bag out. He unloaded all your unrighteousness. And we got all his. Well, when is that going to show up? Well, it's already there. But you may not know it, because we're destroyed because of lack of knowledge. If you know it, you may not be believing it, receiving it, because that's an important part. Faith is involved in all of it. But I want to tell you, he's designed you to receive it, because it's already been paid for. The moment you receive Jesus as Lord and Savior, you receive the gift of righteousness. Grace is unmerited favor to win. Because of grace, you win when you don't deserve it. Is that beautiful? Wow. When you receive the gift of rightness, that position in Christ qualifies you to win the game of life. That's what qualifies you to have a championship season. This is what the Bible declares. Now look. This positional truth is not changed by your performance. In other words, you don't disqualify it. You don't knock it off the shelf because of what your grades. But it is activated and manifested by your believing. So your believing is very important. It don't work without your believing. Romans 5:17. For if because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one. We understand that. Boy, we've preached on that. Much more surely, I can't help it, you got to say it, much more surely will those who receive God's overflowing grace, so there it is, we've talked about receiving His overflowing grace. Is this earning it? Is it deserving it? Working up a ladder for it? No, it's just receiving it. It's a gift of grace, overflowing grace. And the free gift of righteousness, it's a free gift, position of rightness that puts us in right standing with Him. Those two things. Romans 5:17 says this, you will reign as kings in this life. Do you see that? Let's all repeat that part. Reign as kings in life. Does that mean heaven? Well, sure, heaven, but it's talking about this life. This ought to minister some hope to you. This is for you. And how does that happen? Through the one man, Jesus Christ. It's always through Jesus. But those who receive that abundant grace and gift of rightness, hey, you reign in life. You know what that means? When you reign, you win. That's why that I use that term, you can win the day. Because you can reign the day. Through grace and righteousness, through Jesus, you can win the day. You can reign as kings this year. You can have a championship season because of who Jesus is and what He's provided. Our part's to be the receiver. Okay. I don't know if we're going very far, so let me back up, and I want to say it in a different way. When you reign, you win. When you reign, you win, and addictions don't. Okay, I'm trying to make it clear. This is heaven's scoreboard here. Okay, when you reign, you win, and fear doesn't. Depression doesn't. When you reign and you continue to reign for a little while, I want to tell you there's a spiritual momentum that comes in. There's a progression that comes in. And I want to tell you, every obstacle in your journey, they're called strongholds. Every obstacle in your journey can be torn down so that you can live His best. I hope you're catching that. I want to tell you, this will change how you live, how you approach the day, how you approach the Lord. Now look, these obstacles may take seasons. Let's be honest. It may have taken a lifetime to get to those. And it may take a season for them to all be removed because it seems like the Lord has a theme to work on one thing at a time. You ever notice that? Well, let me tell you, it may take a season, but He's worth it and you're worth it. And the victory's sure. Hey, it may take seasons. I want to just be honest with you. Immature believers don't have a concept of time, of season. I'm going to give you a little example. I've got one little granddaughter, 4 years old. Lila is 4 years old. Her mama will tell her, Papa T and Lovey are coming. When are they coming? Well, it's Friday. Is that tomorrow? Well, it's the tomorrow after tomorrow. She'll come back around in a few hours. Is it tomorrow yet? You understand that? The next day she'll say, is it tomorrow yet? Papa T and Lovey coming today? Is it tomorrow yet? Because they have a little problem at a young level about a concept of time. That's why you remember hearing your kiddos say on a journey, are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? It's a concept of time. Now, little Pebs is 5 years old. Huh? She's 6 years old, and apparently at school, they were studying Pioneer Days or something. But she's a great storyteller, and she came home telling the story of Pioneer Days. And this is the way she described it. Did you know at one time that houses had one room? There was just one room, and everybody lived in one room. Did you know that the TVs were real small? Okay, are you getting this? Did you know that every day they had to go out and find water to drink and to bathe? They had to go find water. Well, hon, her mama asked her, well, hon, when was this? Oh, it was way back then, mama. Well, how far back? In the 1980s. Now I'm sharing that with you because that's what we hear from believers. Why are we not there yet? Why are we not there yet? Will it be tomorrow? Huh? What does the season mean? Oh, okay, I'm just sharing with you. You've got to not let the calendar be your destination. You got to let Him be your destination. Okay? Let Jesus be your destination on your journey, and you'll be at the right place at the right time with what He's doing around the right people. That's favor of God. It's unlimited favor, unmerited favor to win in your life. And let me say this, in every area of your life, His goodness is chasing you down daily. You're favored with the loving kindness of God daily. And so daily you can win. He's a big Father with a big heart. And so it makes heaven smile when you believe big. Believe big. He's always with you to win the day every day. Somebody say amen. I want to make it real personal and put it to you like this, that you are a blessing because of Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit within you, the kingdom of God. Jesus is in you. Do you understand that? You are a mobile worship center. You're a mobile worship ministry center. You're Jesus on the move wherever you go. I'm not trying to paint a wrong picture here. You're a blessing going somewhere to happen. You're a weapon. The kingdom of darkness fears you showing up because you're a weapon of the kingdom of God. Because His life chases away death. His light chases away darkness. And His light and His love is in you. You're a champion going somewhere to win. The kingdom of God, you're His kingship. You're a prince and daughter of God. That's walking in with the reality, the royalty, and the power and the authority of Jesus wherever you go. And that means even in your own home. Amen, Brother Tim. Oh, look, I know, and we're not shocked, and we're not offended by people's humanness. We're not offended by people that have defeated lives because we've been there. We understand. We have compassion. We have compassion is the way I need to say it. But let me put it to you like this. If you are living a defeated life, you're living a wrong believing life. I'm trying to let that sink in because I got a lot to say on it. You're believing a lie somewhere. The enemy has deceived you, defeated you in some way, and told you this is for a lifetime and this is the real you, and it's not the real you. Either you don't know the truth or you're not applying the truth that you know. This is why we need each other. This is why you need to go to a cell group. We got a number of cell groups now. You need to be at one. Because I want to tell you, you hear about it on Sunday, but it's on Wednesday night that you talk it out. It's on Wednesday night that you apply it to one another, that you help one another. Are you applying the truth? Is it possible that you're choosing death instead of life? I want to tell you what victory life looks like in the heart of a believer. It's a heart that says and knows that I'm forgiven. I'm convinced I'm forgiven. No matter what happens, no matter what comes across my path, no matter what people or the enemy says, I know I'm forgiven. I know I'm loved. I'm convinced that I'm loved. I know about the grace of God, and I'm receiving by grace, His giving grace, His gift of righteousness. And when you park there, the Holy Spirit powers at work within you, and that makes all things possible on the outside. Victory life is nothing more than His life in you being manifested. Wow. I love that. Ephesians 3:20. I'm going to just run through it real quick again. Now to Him, just talking about the Lord, who by in the consequences of us responding from interaction of His love life, His power is at work within the inside of us. He's able to carry out His purpose and do on the outside super abundantly far over and above all that we dare ask or think. Wow. Do you see that now? Did some puzzle come together for you? He will not bless you beyond your cooperation. I know people pray the opposite of that. Lord, just do it anyway. He wants to, and he's paid for it to happen in your life. But I want to tell you something. He requires your cooperation. I'll give you an example. He's already said yes and amen to all his promises for you. Let me give you a real practical one. It goes like this. People will say, and I hear this sometimes, well, so you're telling me the Lord knows what I need before I ask it? Yes, he does. Well, why pray? Now, come on. I'm showing you the passive mindset of believers. Well, what good is it going to do to pray if he already knows? Well, I want to tell you what it is. He requires your consent. He requires your cooperation. He's waiting. He says, ask. You haven't asked. Ask. Keep on asking. That's the way the original puts it. Keep on asking. Keep on seeking. Keep on knocking. So ask, believer. Why pray? Because he wants your cooperation. He could do it without you, but he's chosen not to. He wants agreement. He wants submission. He wants you to embrace who he is and his heart for you. Romans 8, 2, for the law of the Spirit of life. Somebody say freedom life. Yeah, that's what it is. The law of the Spirit of life is freedom life in Christ Jesus. And it's a new thing. He's freed us from the law of sin and of death. Now, this new life is a new mode of operation. It's not old covenant, it's new covenant. Thank God we live in new covenant. We got all kind of benefits in new covenant. We got an advantage in new covenant. Because I want to tell you, death has limitations. His life that comes in us is unlimited. All right, I want to be sure you're on the train. I don't want to leave you. Let me say it like this. Death says, I can't, I can't, I can't. Death speaks to you and says, you can't, you can't, you can't. Don't even try. Give up. Quit. I want to tell you what Zoe life. Zoe life is the God kind of life. I want to tell you what he says. He says this. I can through you. If you'll let me do, I can in you. I can in you. I can through you. Zoe life says he can. Romans 8:11. Are you ready for some more? We got time. We got just a few minutes. You got to listen fast. And if Romans 8:11 says, if the Spirit of him, talking about the Holy Spirit, who raised up Jesus from the dead, dwells in you. Where is he? If you know Christ, he's in you. The very Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. Then he who has raised up Christ Jesus from the dead will also restore to life. Anybody need some restoration ever? Huh? I'm telling you, you're looking at a man that has to be recharged. You're looking at a man who has to be renewed. You're looking at a man who has to be restored. He has great compassion for us on that. He's a great high priest who sympathizes with our weakness. And he's made provision. He's made provision. The same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus. Hey, we're talking about resurrection power. Dwells in you. To restore to life your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Now I want to tell you, these bodies drain. The bodies leak. The bodies drain. I want to tell you, you may not understand it, but Jesus got tired in this body. All right, but I want to tell you what he did. He practiced receiving the love lane from the Father, and he was continually restored. Listen, he was continually refreshed. Are you with me? He was continually recharged by Father through the Spirit. And I want to tell you, that's the same for us. Same loving God, same life, Zoe life, raising from the dead life. The same life that raised Jesus from the dead dwells inside of us to recharge, renew, and restore us. Oh, my, my, my. If somebody caught that, there'd probably be a shout in the house. John 10:10, the thief, you know this, the thief comes only in order to steal, kill, and destroy. But look what Jesus said. I came that they might have my life. To the measure, not just dipping your toes in the water. I'm talking about swimming in the deeper depths, wide and deep of my love. Not only to receive my life and have my life, but to enjoy it. You see, that's a good gauge on your life. And I'm going to ask you right now, between you and the Lord, are you enjoying the Lord? Are you enjoying His love life? Are you overwhelmed with His love life? Hey, I'm asking you in the name of Jesus, are you enjoying your journey in Him? Because that's a description of love life. If I were to stand up here and tell you that I love the beautiful blonde, and you know I do, I enjoy her. I chase her around the house. She lets me catch her. It's great. But I want to tell you, if I were to tell you that I loved her, but I couldn't stand being with her, what if I told you I loved her so much, oh, stars, her teeth are like stars, and what if I told you all that and I said, but I don't want to hang out with her. I'd rather be away from her this week. What would you say? Liar, liar, pants on fire. I want to tell you, God looks at the heart. But I want to tell you, that can change. Because of grace, because of His love. He said, I come that they might have life and enjoy life. And look at this. Have it to the abundance. What are you more aware of in your life? And this is just okay to be honest with God. Are you more aware of defeated life or abundant life? The enemy ministers death. That's what Jesus said. But He said, you can receive my life and enjoy it. To love life fellowship. To abundance. The root of His love brings fruit of His life in you. It's the fruit of the Spirit. Super abundant life. Hey, super quality life. Now, I got to cover this part, so you got to give me a few more minutes because you already let me get started here. His life drives out every form of death. All right, John 5:21, just as the Father raises up the dead and gives them life, makes them live, even so the Son also gives life to whomever He wills and is pleased to give it. I want to tell you, He's saying that His life, that super abundant, that amazing life-changing love life that He has is for you, and it pleases Him to minister it to you in the overflow. Now look what happens. Man, this hit me so clear, but He raised the dead by releasing His life into them. See, that's good for us because our life is exchanged life. He changes us, but it's exchanged. I want to tell you, He'll take the ministry of death, however it showed up, whatever residue of death is left over in your life, His life will chase it away. He raised the dead by releasing His life in them. I want to say it to you in a couple of ways. His life drives away cancer. Let Him be your healing journey. He released His life, get this now, He released His life to kill leprosy. You see, there was such a social distance order put in that time. Couldn't come within yards of a leper. You know what Jesus did? The leper asked. The leper believed. Jesus touched him. Jesus broke the social order of distance because He wasn't scared, because He knew life is greater than death. His life is greater than leprosy. And when He touched the leper, He released His life. Same way He raised people from the dead, He released His life to them. He released life to that leper, and leprosy was killed, and the leprosy was healed. Jesus walked up to legs that were dead and touched and spoke to the legs and gave a hand up. And the legs that were dead received His life, and they worked. He did the same with blind eyes. Is anybody getting this? It's resurrection life. It's same Holy Spirit life that was in Him is in us. Resurrection life power is in us. Okay, here we go. Believing believers, be a receiving believer. Receiving believers, be releasing believers. You release the life. Release the kingdom of God to others. If it stays with you, it doesn't fulfill its ultimate purpose. We got to share it. We got to give it away. It's freely given to you, the life of Jesus. We freely give it away. There was no sickness in Jesus. Why? Overflowing life. I'm just painting a picture for you. I know that the enemy sent germs and diseases and sicknesses against Jesus because that's the way the enemy works. And I want to tell you, hey, when that disease or sickness or virus would attack Jesus, the overflowing life in Jesus, the kingdom life, would kill it. But do you understand that? So what I'm saying to you is that it's time, because of who we are in Christ, because of what Christ has done, we can win the day. We can have a championship season. It may be the first championship season of your entire life, but because of Jesus, it can be. You can walk free in 23. So stop being defensive. Stop being passive. The Bible says it's the violent that take it. You know what that means? Be aggressive about it. Don't be a candy. We don't want Christian candies. They don't operate in victory. Be an overcomer. Be on the offense. I want to say this. The Word of God's deputized you. You got the authority. You carry the badge of authority. You're deputized. You have His life. You have His Word. You have His authority. And I want to tell you, you may not know it, but darkness trembles at you believing it, of you receiving it, of you releasing it. We're champions, we're winners, we're victors, we're overcomers. Not because of our practice, but because of His practice, we have the position. I got to read a little bit more. Okay, y'all just hang with me just a little bit. 1 Corinthians 12:27. Now you collectively are Christ's body. Now we talk about this, and you probably have an understanding that corporately we're the body of Christ. There's a universal body of Christ. There's a corporate body of Christ. We know that. But the Holy Spirit, the Bible takes it even down to the point where you stand. Boy, would you see this? Would you open up the eyes of your heart and see this? So now you are collectively Christ's body and individually. That's you. Individually, you are members of it. One part, severally. And I may not be saying that right, but I had to look it up to make sure. It means independently, you're the body of Christ. You. Separately, you're the body of Christ. Individually, you're the body of Christ. Would you see that? And distinct, each with his own place and function. You are the body of Christ. Now, let me bring it to home. Here we are in 23. I want to tell you, there's no resentment in Jesus. There's no bitterness in Jesus. There's no unforgiveness in Jesus. There's no depression in Jesus. There's no sickness in Jesus. There's no fear in Jesus. There's no lack of love in Jesus. There's no racism in Jesus. Is this too much for you? Well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to probably stop right there. If I start again, I'm going to need another 10 minutes or so. So I'm going to try to stop right there. I'm trying. Look at me. I'm trying to stop right there. Okay. Just make a statement, and I'm going to try not to preach on it. Make a statement for those of you that can catch this. In this journey, like in ball games, coaches taught us in ball games, I don't know if they're still taught this, but they were taught us that there's a difference between pain and an injury. Play ball, there's going to be pain. But you can continue on with pain. They actually would teach you how to handle pain. Don't let pain stop you from being the champion that you are. Don't let pain stop you from winning the game. An injury is something different. But let me tell you something. Your pain can become an injury if you don't do the right things. I want to tell you, probably everybody's experienced having a little pain in one area, and you favor it, and the next thing you know, you're hurting over here in this area, because in this area you were taking on more than what... Do you understand how it happens? Now, I'm bringing it down to right here. A hurt in your journey and pain in your heart in your journey can get you out of the love lane. And if you're out of the love lane and you stay there, it can become an injury. It can put you on the sideline. Are you listening? That's why that we need to go back and practice being consumed, receiving, believing, walking in greater depths of His love. Because listen to me, the love lane will heal your hurts. The love lane with Jesus will heal your pain. There are people that are not operating on the front line for Jesus today, and God has destiny for them. God has purpose for them. God has gifting and things that He designed for them to accomplish on this earth before they were even born, and they're not fulfilling it because they're on the sideline. They're on the sideline because they've allowed resentment, hurt, bitterness, unforgiveness to block and cause an injury. Okay, I'm here to tell you Jesus heals and Jesus delivers us. And I want to tell you, we're to walk in the love lane with the Lord. Listen, with the Lord and with each other. We got to stay in the love lane. I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes. And I want to thank you for that extra 10 minutes. Okay, 11 minutes. Because I want to tell you, I think it was very important that you catch the ending of this. And I got a lot more to say about it, and we'll probably try to do that next week. But I just got to tell you, there are people that you and I know that are out of the game today. Not because the Lord chose them to be out of the game. They're out of the game. You know why? Because they've allowed a cancerous root in their heart of bitterness. And it has a way of spreading. And it has a way of taking a pain to an injury, to a crippling. Okay? To a place of devastation where it's destructive. Not just for them, but according to the Bible, to others that they know. And I want to tell you, Jesus came to set you free from every offense. Offenses come. Jesus said offenses will come. But I want to tell you, you don't have to live with the offense. You can take it to the shepherd and lay it at His feet and let Jesus heal the hurt. He said, I've come to bind up the brokenhearted. The same Spirit of Jesus that raises Jesus from the dead came to bind up the brokenhearted. Came to set captives free. You don't have to be a slave to bitterness or unforgiveness, anger, hatred in any form. I know you've been done wrong. We get done wrong in this journey. But it's our privilege to take them to Jesus and walk in the love lane. And if you're walking in the love lane with Jesus, guess what? You can walk. He gives you grace, love, to walk in the love lane with others. That sets you free to continue to receive and respond and release the love of God to others. That's love life. That's the victory life. That's freedom life. And Jesus paid for you. Father, in Jesus' name, we give you praise. We give you thanks. We celebrate all that you've done and all that you are. We pray, Holy Spirit, come and open the eyes and ears of the hearts for people to see you, to see that you've made provision in this journey to remove the obstacles, the strongholds, to set us free, to be all that you want us to be and to do all that you want us to do. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that it's the power of your grace and the gift of righteousness. Lord Jesus, call them to your love. And I just pray that the love of God will flood hearts today. The love of God will consume us and overflow us. Lord, that your love, your goodness will draw us to you in great measure. And we give you praise. And all the people said, amen and amen. Thank you and God bless you. I love you being here. I love you listening in. Hallelujah to the Lord.